Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This summer we have been hearing readings from Paul's letter to the Romans, and so that's what I want to focus on today. Paul had yet to visit Rome, so unlike many of his other letters, he is not addressing specific community concerns that he has actually observed. Rather, in Romans, we find his most comprehensive expression of Christian faith and life. So much so that we are often tempted to view Romans as a largely doctrinal treatise. Eugene Peterson, on the other hand, sees it primarily as a text devoted to spiritual formation, to address the question, what does it mean to live Christianly in the world? Romans is a dense book. By that I mean it is so packed with wisdom and insight and exhortation that one could spend hours pondering each verse. But today we have only a few minutes, so I want to mine some of the spiritual nuggets of today's second reading. He appeals to us, brothers and sisters. His words are not addressed simply to individuals, but to the whole community, brothers and sisters together. Here is where one of the fundamental errors is made: to see the Christian life primarily as an individual endeavor. Yes, we need each of us individually to profess faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But the context in which that faith is lived out is always the context of community. It is never just about me and God, but about my life in Christ in the context of the community, which is the body of Christ, the church. He goes on to appeal to us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And that is what he calls spiritual worship. He makes clear that our faith is not simply a matter of what goes on in our minds. It is not simply about right thinking. It is not simply about right doctrinal formation. But it is embodied in the whole of how we live our lives together. It is never simply about a belief system, as if believing in the right things was all that God required of us. Rather, it is faith in action. As James puts it, faith without works is dead. What we believe does need to inform the whole of our lives, the whole of how we act in this world. And worship, it is clear to Paul, is not simply about showing up on Sunday morning. Worship is to be expressed in all the activities of daily life as we come to understand that we live before the face of God, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day. St. Augustine of Hippo said that a Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. In all the contexts of our living, there is cause to turn our hearts in prayer and praise. But we live in a world that is not God-focused, and that can become a problem for us. That becomes a distraction for sure, and sometimes even an obstacle to a God-focused life. Paul tells us not to be conformed to the world, but to be renewed. Now, I never had the obligation or the privilege or the terror or whatever you want to call it of raising children. But for those of you who actually raise children, it has become common that parents limit the screen time of children and censor what they don't want their children to be exposed to. Movies are rated as X or adult or PG, We want to make sure that we don't send our children to movies that are not PG. My sister and I once conned my father into taking us to MASH, the movie, when we were far too young to see it. He was not a happy camper, but he did not march us out of the theater. We don't want our children to be negatively affected by adult content. Teenagers want constantly to test the boundaries, but parents warn them about hanging out with the wrong people or accessing the wrong internet content. But somehow, as adults, we assume that we are mature enough to handle whatever we are exposed to. But we are psychologically impacted by what we see, by what we read, by the things that we are exposed to. And it's easy to let all of that shape our lives. And over the course of my lifetime, and over the course of most of your lifetimes, what has been considered acceptable in society has become darker and darker. Just think about, those of you who are old enough, just think about the television that you viewed 30 or 40 years ago compared to what's on offer today. Paul warns us against being shaped by the world around us. He wants us to have minds that have been renewed, transformed, and to be able to discern God's presence and call. So how do we get a renewed mind? Well, by avoiding all of those dark negative things, by focusing our thoughts on things that are good and wholesome and godly, and by being immersed in the Word of God and in prayer. Even psychology tells us that if we want to have more peace and less stress in our lives, we should monitor the amount of our exposure to all of the bad news stories that bombard us. You know, the media seems to take hold of whatever the latest tragedy has been, and the next thing you know, we have 24 hours or 48 hours or 72 hours of the same images that bombard us on our televisions. And I've come to think that people who watch, you know, like CNN or CBC News 24 hours a day are not doing their mental health any good. And if we're not doing our mental health any good, we're probably not doing our spiritual health any good either. Unless we view those things as a call to prayer about the tragedies in our world. One of the things that the world tries to do is to tell us who we are. From an early age, competition is fostered instead of community. We are either part of the in crowd or not. And I don't know if this is the time to tell you that I was never part of the in crowd, so I'm very glad that you all took me in. We grow up longing to feel superior in some area of our lives, whether it be academics or sports or popularity or just the funniest kid in the class. And we fear the stigma of being considered the loser in any group. We tend to hide it better as adults. But my suspicion is that the same longings and fears plague most adults as well. But Paul says, just stop it. Don't think of yourself as better or worse than anyone else. Life in community is not supposed to be about competition, but about cooperation. Elsewhere, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and so are you. He advocates self-awareness and, I think, self-acceptance. We are each gifted as God has seen fit. And that implies acceptance and celebration of ourselves and acceptance and celebration of each individual in this community. And again, he brings the reminder that we do not simply exist for ourselves, but for the whole community. We are all members of the body of Christ, but we have different functions. It's easy to look around sometimes and be envious of the gifts of others. And it's sometimes tempting to see some gifts as more important than others. But the fact of the matter is that these gifts differing is actually a measure of the graciousness of God. We don't have to excel at everything. We can simply rest in the truth and the reality of who we are and, to the best of our abilities, use and share the gifts that God has given us. Sometimes a false modesty will cause us to deny or minimize our gifts. That's not a good spiritual space to be in either. Paul talks about having sober judgment about who we are. And that means that we need to own who we are and how God has gifted us, and then put those gifts to use. It is in sharing our gifts within the community of faith that we are literally presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. It is in exercising our gifts that our faith becomes embodied in what Paul calls our spiritual worship. I want to close by reading the text that we have been reflecting on, but this time from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. He entitles this section, Place Your Life Before God. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you can fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are somehow bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God does and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body that we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to very much, would we? So, since we find ourselves fashioned into all of these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were meant to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, Don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. That's how Eugene Peterson has interpreted this particular text. And my prayer is that we may all live lives that express Alleluia from head to foot. Amen.